I'm going to get started. Just some preliminary stuff. I've got these little mini CDs up here. You're more than welcome to take. On it is, I have information about Moodle. It's actually got files on it that you can actually, if you wanted to set up a Moodle on your home computer, you just play with it. It kind of gives you tutorials on how to do that. It has the latest version of Moodle on it. It has this thing called WAMP 5, which allows you to almost like simulate setting up a MySQL database on your home computer. So you can actually simulate a Moodle at home, and it walks you through that. It also walks you through with how to like go find modules and download a module and install a module on it. So you're more than welcome to take one of those when you leave. I also have a couple Moodle books you're more than willing to, and I've got links on those CDs of these two books, which tend to be the best, I think. They're a little bit, you know, anything with the Moodle, as soon as you buy it, it's going to be outdated because it's constantly changing, but they're good starting books just to familiarize yourself with Moodle. Okay, so there are the things. I'm going to be recording this just for my own use. So just to let people know that, and we're going to get started. Here's who I am. Currently, I'm finishing up my doctorate studies at the University of Delaware. I'm from New Jersey, by the way. So I came up yesterday and hope to get a little bit of it. Now, are most people here Red Sox or Yankees fans? I know we're in that, I forget your name? John Dennis, you're kind of like on that border, you know, between Yankees and Red Sox. So I was hoping to get a little bit of that, you know, Red Sox Nation feel while I'm here. So I'm at the University of Delaware where I'm completing my doctoral dissertation. It's related to a lot of the stuff that I'll talk about today. I'm also a technology coordinator in a school district down in New Jersey. We're a small K-8 school district located in the Pine Barrens of New Jersey. For those that want to know, it's Exit 4. That's the way most people know it. I also am a member of we have an association, New Jersey Association of Educational Technology. I'm a board member on that. And I present at conferences a lot. And I like to do that because I like to share kind of my enthusiasm with technology with others and also to see what other people are doing with technology. I've been involved with technology since 1990. For some people, they've probably been involved with it a lot longer. I actually started off, I got my master's degree in counseling psychology, believe it or not, up at Lesley, up in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I just kind of went back into get my certification. I was living in California, get certified as a school psychologist. And, you know, at that point, like, all the stuff was starting to go online and using computers. And I found myself getting away from school psychology and getting into technology. So I've been involved with technology since 1990. And one of the big things I'm into and I advocate for is truly technology integration. Somebody, I think, in the field of education, I mentioned Cuban, has this book. People familiar with Cuban? He has a book called Oversold and Underused, Computers in the Classroom. And what he talks about a lot, and which I agree a lot, is, you know, we get into this thing about technology and like who's got the nicest computers in the classroom, who's got the most smart boards and projector units, but nobody's really integrating technology into their curriculum. You know, they've got to show they use it, but they don't integrate. And one of the nice things that I like about the Moodle is a real opportunity to be able to integrate technology into your curriculum. What is a Moodle? Everybody asks me this, and I always forget what the acronym stands for. And it's basically modular, object-oriented, dynamic learning environment. So if anybody asks you that, or maybe someday on Trivial Pursuit, you know, they'll ask you, what does Moodle stand for? Now you know. Now, if you ask me in 5 minutes without this slide what it stands for, I probably won't remember. Okay? But I thought, you know, everybody always says, what does that stand for? And that's what it stands for. Moodle history. It was created by this gentleman here who's a computer science and educator. And it's open source. People familiar with open source? Pretty much?
Okay.
And he was frustrated with designs that were primarily made by engineers. For example, Blackboard and WebCT. That, you know, if there was something that you wanted implemented into there, it was mostly software engineers doing the implementation. And it was really the educators were left out of the whole process.
And what he decided to do is create this Moodle.
And so what he wanted to do, instead of going from engineers to developers to later educators, he looked at educators as being the developers and going to the engineers, or now it's open source for people to develop it. So it's a whole different thinking strategy than what's normally done with software. Moodle defined, as you can see, is a verb meaning to let the mind or body wander and do something creative, but without particular purpose. I put this up here because it's how many people are familiar with the Moodle? Okay. You know, so many people ask me, you know, what is that? And it's so hard to define it, you know, unless you see it. Unless you see it in action, you can talk about it, but people don't understand it. What it is a learning management system. There's different ways to approach it. There's a lot of the learning management systems were kind of solo learning. The student would go onto like an online learning management system. You know, they would like have to do something, and it was all them disseminating information out. And what the Moodle does is really, if you take it to the extent that you do, it's more of a student-to-student, can be a student-to-student learning experience. And it comes from a social constructionist approach. That basically, and anybody that works with kids know, the way they best get things in life is if they can apply to their real lives. You know, it's like I went into a science class a few months ago, and kids were doing some experimental stuff, and I asked them, you know, and oh, I know what it was. It was the periodical chart of chemicals. It's like, well, why are you doing this? And their answer was, because it's going to be on the test. You know, there was no connection to it other than they knew it was going to be on the test. And what I think with the Moodle is that's an opportunity to move away from that. You know, we're so locked into teaching to the test now. Now, I don't have time for this Moodle stuff. I've got to prepare the kids to be on the test. So it really takes that kind of approach. And it moves from what I'm doing here, what I feel like, lecturing, to more of a discussion approach. So that kids are involved in the material. It's not just me standing up here like I am doing today. And, you know, I often think about that. It's like, here I'm talking about this, a whole approach, and I go to these things, and I don't want to stand up here and promise all the time. So chime in when you want. If you looked at the comparison between like Blackboard, WebCT, and Moodle, here's some of the things that are similar, and here are the things that are different. In a nutshell, what I think Moodle does more than those is that Moodle offers more of an interaction than like WebCT or Blackboard. Like at University of Delaware, they use WebCT. And so when I used it for some of the doctoral courses I was taking, you know, it's just, you know, okay, here's the information you need. You can go get it. Okay, we can have some discussion forums and put some information on it. They last for a little while, and then people kind of peter out and don't use it. Where I think with the Moodle, there's so much, and I'll show you in a little while, of the different modules that you can get on the Moodle that allow you to make it more of an interactive experience. But the thing is that Moodle is a hungry beast. And you got to keep feeding it. This is what I tell teachers in my district. That I started working with teachers last year. I went, actually, 2006. They had the NEC conference in Philadelphia, and I went to that. And the big talk was open source and Moodle and all this. And I had taken a class down in Delaware, and one of my fellow students was talking about this Moodle thing. But, you know, it was all Linux-based, and you know, I was a Windows server person, and it's like, I'm not interested. You know, if it's not Windows, then I don't have any interest in it. But then when I went to NEC and started seeing everybody was talking about this Moodle stuff, and I had done this thing with collaborative teachers. In our district, we went from, you know, your individual performance plan that you do every year, IPP we call it down in Jersey, to more of a collaborative approach. So my collaborative approach was going to be, I'm going to design these websites for teachers, these interactive websites for teachers, and be able to put them together with the teachers so that they can use them in their classrooms on an everyday basis. And then I stumbled across this Moodle thing and realized that this is where it was really at. But the thing is, as I say, it is a hungry beast, and you have to constantly feed it. If it just sits there in a static, nobody will use it. Kids won't come to it. Kids won't interact with it. They'll just kind of sit there. And eventually it'll start fading out. And you'll see people just won't do anything with it. So, you know, the thing I advocate all the time with teachers is you got to constantly feed it, you know. And some do, some don't.
Okay, so I asked the question, who's familiar with Moodle? A lot of people. Okay. What do you want to know today? Yes.
Can it be used in a university setting instead of web CP?
Yes. Yes, it can.
Can it be connected to the university's database by PAM?
I think so, yes.
And is it free?
It's free. That's what blows everybody's mind. It's like, okay, what's the catch? It's like, you know, those TV ads you see, you know? Call today and it's only $9.95 shipping. I was in this one place, and I'll go up on the stand all the time. But I was in this one place, and next door, they had set up this shop where these people were selling these knives, you know? And it's like, you know, well, we got this great deal, and I don't remember the name of the company. I got this great deal on knives, and you get these knives, and they're really good, and they're really cheap. Except, you know, you're going to pay all this extra money for shipping. Oh, and then we got to charge you tax on top of the shipping. And so the next thing you know, what was free winds up being a lot more money than it is. But it's actually, it's free. You know, what I did is, last year I used a web hosting service for myself. And with the collaborative plan that I did with teachers, I had three other teachers that I did this with. So I had a web hosting service that I used, and I set up a Moodle and did it with that. This year what I had happen is here's the thing with technology, I find, being a tech coordinator person. It's like, I get all excited about it and all jump in and, yeah, this is great stuff and everything. But, you know, teachers look at me and say, well, that's because you're the tech person. You know, of course you're going to get excited about this stuff. You know, you're not in the classroom every day. So, you know, you've got all the little toys and, you know, all the little gimmicks and, you know, you got your iPod with the microphone on it. You know, that's just you. So I did it with just a collaboration with a few teachers. Didn't say anything to any other teachers. Just the ones I was working with. You know how many people found out about the Moodle? You know, all of a sudden, all these people start coming up to me. What's this Moodle thing? Now tell me about what is that Moodle thing? And next thing you know, so this year what we did is our school board had a server that they weren't using and replaced it. So I basically took that server and I brought it down to my room and I set that up. And now our school district, anybody in our school district, has availability to set up their own course within the Moodle. And so slowly you're starting to see people being coming on board on that. A neat story. Go ahead, you have something?
It's a typical question.
Okay, hopefully I can answer it. There's a couple ways. Is this something that you host yourself? There's what's called a PHP any file. And in there, there's a portion of the script in there that by default it's set a certain upload. If you change that, and then there's, like, I still have my own Moodle, and what I did is there's a script that can be run that blasts that PHP any file to all the folders within that directory, which then increase, like right now, on my Moodle site, I can have people, I think up to 9 gig size of files now. So not that they're going to do that. I mean, I can still limit it, but that's the maximum. I'd rather have it up really high and then say, okay, this course, 10 minutes.
That's the maximum.
You know, and this course, you know, I know it's a lot less, so I can make this 8 minutes. You can still dictate how many, but there's like a PHP any file. And if you blast that out to the folders and increase that size, it will increase the size of allowable uploads.
Does it need its own server, or could it be on the school server, or district server?
Like I said, I can only speak for myself. I took the school board server, their old server, and put it on there. What I would recommend is probably, depending on how much traffic you get on your server, because when you get, like, I ran into this with the server I put it on at first. Kids go to the lab, and there's 26 kids sitting there, and they're all accessing the Moodle at one time. If you don't have a server that has enough CPU speed and memory in it, it's going to really bog down and get really, really slow. So that's a consideration. That's a hard lesson that I'm learning right now. So, I mean, I've got to look at my strategy as far as, you know,
where do I keep that server, or do I look at next year and even upgrade it further? I mean, it's okay for now because I don't have every teacher using the Moodle on our website at our school, but at some point, as people get more excited about it and start using it, that's going to become an issue.
What other course management systems have you looked at in comparison to Moodle? What's your favorite ones?
Well, I used, when at Delaware, when I was going to Delaware, we used WebCT. I looked at Blackboard. In fact, I was at a conference, presented at a conference last year, and a guy at the Blackboard was there. So I said to him, and this could be an issue for some people, it wasn't an issue for me for most people, said to me, I said, why would I pay Blackboard? And at that time, they were doing this like introductory, you know, $19,000 offer for the first year, and then after that, it was, you know, skyrocketed up. I said, well, why should I pay for that versus Moodle? What can you tell me the difference? And the only thing that he could tell me is, well, we offer 24/7 tech support. I said, anything else? And that was the only thing that he could come up and answer to me. Now, here's my concern, and you've got to talk about this, yours, is, you know, when you get that proprietary software establishment, and unfortunately, you know, for those that don't know, Blackboard bought up WebCT. So now there's not even two companies competing in each other. It's one company. And anybody knows, you know, if you want to talk about innovation and, you know, open to new ideas, look at Microsoft. You know, or any company that buys up another company, you start to see the innovation go down because they don't have to, because they're the only shop in town. So that's my personal opinion of that. Yes?
Maybe I'm in the wrong session, but for those who, I just heard of Moodle for the first time last week, and I wasn't clear on what it was and how I could use it to teach business applications in high school.
Okay.
Could you give me like a, you know, 2 minute?
I'm going to give you, after I get done this little brief spiel, I'm going to go over and actually show you kind of, and I've got, like, I set up like a sample course. I'm going to kind of show you how you can do it.
I actually just wanted to add on to that a little bit, too, because I work primarily with teachers in showing them how to use technology in the classrooms. And one of the hardest things I've had about Moodle, and we use Moodle quite a bit in my district, but teachers, it changes the way that you teach when you use Moodle. And I think that one of the things that I was looking for is to try to find exemplars of really good courses, because we're using it as a hybrid. We're a middle school, so we're not having the kids take online courses. It's a hybrid course in their classes in school. And it's very difficult to explain to first-time teachers who haven't used Moodle how to construct a course, because it does change the way that you teach the course when you use Moodle.
Thank you for that, because are people familiar with Lodi? You don't. Levels of technology implementation. Dr. Christopher Morsch came up with this idea. Now, in New Jersey, I would check in the state of Connecticut, because I know there was grants that were given out. And Lodi looks at exactly what you're talking about. Lodi looks at there's six different levels. And let me just switch over to that real quick. Lodi looks at six different levels. So it's www.lodiconnection.com. Now, in the state of New Jersey, through a grant, we were able to, a few weeks ago, offer, they have what's called the 21st Century Details Survey. And what that does, allows teachers, gives them a series of questions. They go through, and then what it does, it gives them a Lodi level, which is from 1 to 6. It also gives them their personal computer use level, which tells them, like, at what level they are with their use of computer. And then there's another one, CPI, the current practice instruction methods, which feeds into that, because it is a shift. You're moving from a teacher-centered philosophy more to a student-centered philosophy of teaching. And that's, you know, this is where my doctorate is going to. It's like all of a sudden the planets began to line up with each other. Because what I did is look at the Lodi level, and where you're at this Lodi level determines kind of like what level you are at with how you use a Moodle. If you use a Moodle as a central repository for your information, and that's all it is, it's very static.
then you're at a lower loading level than you were if you use it for more student interactive pieces to it. For example, last year was sixth grade. Started doing with a sixth grade social studies teacher. And so we had the kids, you know, we bring down labs, show them how the Moodle works. And we have discussion forums. And one of them on the discussion forum is a homework helpline. And you can pose any question that you want with homework. And so one of the students says, well, how about if I start my homework and I go into the discussion forum and I put, can I have, you know, I have this problem with this portion of the homework. Now, how am I going to know what somebody's going to get back to me? And one of the other students, this is the great thing, because you leave it open to the kids. Another student said, well, why don't you post it when you first start your homework, do your other homework, and then come back later on. And then one other, so I thought, that's a great idea. And then another student said, well, why can't we have a live chat? And immediately, what happens when you think live chat? Oh, all the red flags go up. Oh, my God, what are they going to do with that? You know, what's going to happen with that? These are sixth graders that we did this with. So the first time we did it, I said, okay. I went out to the Moodle site, you know, found out I could do live chat already. So I opened up live chat for sixth graders. So at first we had a little problem. You know, kids. Some kids would get on it and they'd be chatting. And I tried to, you know, we gave them parameters. This is specifically used for school-related stuff. But, you know, I'm not going to be the chat police, though I will monitor it, because there's a log in there that you can do. So first there's a couple kids that, you know, kids would get logged in and get onto the chat, and they would go, you know, get off, I want you on this, you know, shut up, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, and I warned the kids, I said, you know, we keep a log of this. Not that I want to read everybody's life story, but there's a log that can keep track of that. Now, that's not what it's for. And if you don't use it the way it's for, you're responsible, because you're really turning the responsibility over to the kids. They're responsible for it, really, and how it's used. You know, you choose how you use it. And if you don't use it the way it is, then you're telling me that you're not responsible enough to handle this. You're not ready for this yet. We had that one meeting with the kids, kind of right on the right act about that. Never had another problem the rest of the year. And I'd go on and I'd check the logs, and kids were dialoguing back and forth with each other about questions about what was going on in class. When it came time to test, not that I'm a big advocate of kids teaching the test, but kids were throwing questions back and forth with each other about what was going to be on the test. So kids began to use this whole chat within the Moodle to be able to dialogue with each other. Then I thought, you know, the other thing said, you know, because the way we set up the forums were, you know, if they wanted to set up a forum, email me or put, I, you know, questions for Mr. Taylor. You know, I want a forum on so-and-so. And so I thought, you know, if we're really going to follow this strategy of really becoming like social constructionist strategy, we've got to open up and let the kids have some say in the process. So I went to the Moodle site. I found this module on the Moodle called Forum Plus, which allows the users actually to create their own forums. So now we introduce those to the kids. And now not only do I have rights to create forums, but now the kids can create forums that they feel there's a need for. So that's the great thing about the Moodle, is that there's always, you know, if you go to the modules, you usually always find things there that may be useful. Another example,
what's a forum? Is that discussion?
Yeah. So I did, like, I did once, like, I set up once initially, like, you know, as they were, this was a social studies, like, different parts of what they were studying in social studies that went along. So I'd set up a forum for each one, and the kids could discuss things. Or if they had a question, they could shoot a question back to the teacher, and she could respond. But then we started creating all things like journals, utilizing journals, journal rights, where the kids could actually write within the Moodle their journals, and the teacher could give direct feedback to them. And only they and the teacher could see that. We were doing projects such as, they were doing a Greek festival, because they were studying ancient Greece. And so what we wanted to do is we decided we're going to have a Greek day, and we're going to set up, part of that was setting up food buffet. So what we did is on the Moodle, we set up a questionnaire. Okay, what do you want to bring? Let us know what you want to bring. And now they could put that in. We set up questions for projects they did in the class. What's your first, second, third choice? They can go online and be able to record what they wanted as their first, second, third choice.
And what you begin to see is kids with the calendar feature. You begin to see kids begin to utilize and be able to create their own personal calendars. So I'm just going to show you a little bit, because it kind of gets a little bit esoteric. Here's the Moodle that I set up, Technology and Education Online. I'm logged in as me, and I've got a few different little questions. Here's another great thing is that you begin to utilize within Moodle. YouTube, TeacherTube are all great tools that you can use. And there's now modules that are available for the Moodle that allows you to plug that in. So this is actually coming from YouTube, and I'll see how our connection here is comes. Now you can begin to take stuff like from YouTube, TeacherTube, any of those, and be able to incorporate it directly into my Moodle. So now I can just add streaming video right into my Moodle. They don't have to go out anywhere. They can access it directly from here. And there's something I'm teaching on whatever you need, whether it's something in science or math. Anybody familiar with projects, science, I don't know what they're called, with iTunes. Great for science lessons. So instead of having them to go all over the place, now I can simply locate everything within the Moodle, and I can still utilize the power of YouTube or any of the other ones to be able to incorporate this. I can incorporate podcasts into Moodle. I can incorporate RSS feeds. Last year, what we did is we did the BBC. Because it was social studies, we did the BBC News for Kids as a direct feed right into the Moodle site. So they were getting direct feeds about current events within the Moodle site. They didn't even have to go anywhere. So there's so much that's happening with the Moodle and making availability. Let me just go down. Here's one I set up for today. It's a sample course. And I tell teachers this all the time. If you know how to do email attachments, you'll be able to set up things within a Moodle very easy. Here I set up a sample video. First thing I'm going to do is when I'm in is I'm going to just simply turn the editing on. And you're going to notice the menu selection changes once you turn the editing on. And I can go in and say, okay, I want to add, I've got this paper, journal article, or whatever that I want to give the kids. So I'm going to link to a file or a website. And I'm going to call this, and I'm going to go down, and I'm going to choose a file to upload, and I'm going to go over and upload a file. Now this is where I say, teachers, if you're not doing email attachments, you know, you're doing the same thing. You're browsing to find that file that you want to add into it. So if you're comfortable with that, it's real easy to get comfortable with this. And I simply can just browse. And here's some samples. I'm just going to pick this one, and I can say open, and I'm going to upload this file. Notice my maximum size is 9.8 gigs. That's what I was saying before. But I don't have to keep it at that. I could do whatever size, but I always rather go high than low. And now that's the one I want, so I'm going to just choose this. And now it's put in there. And I could choose if I want. In this case, I can keep it in the same window, and I want to keep the navigation visible. And what that means is basically, so I can move around my Moodle, I can just keep that up at the top so it's not just a blank page. And then once I've done that, I'm going to save the changes. And in a moment...
This is how you would add any new course in the generic Moodle, right? This is what you get when you download Moodle. This template is what pops up. Can you change the background on it, or...
There's what's called themes, and you can download, there's a bunch of free themes that you can download to change. This is the thing, I just talked to the social studies teacher before I came up here last week. One thing is that you can choose to keep the theme the same, or you can choose to allow the users to change the themes. And I talked to her, it's like, if we want to turn more ownership over to the kids and have the kids feel like they're a part of the process, the more that we can give them control over, the more they're going to be invested in it. And so what we're going to do is next week introduce them to how they can pick their choose their own themes. And you know, with kids, for the first few days, they're going to change their theme about 90 times. They're going to go back and forth, change it. But that's okay.
because eventually they'll settle something they like for now, and they may change it later. But it's getting kids hooked in and involved with and feeling ownership of it is a real key part of it, I think. So there's various themes that you can just, at the Moodle site, you can just download and say, now I have this PDF document, I can print it out, I can save it, I have it available to anybody that's taken this class.
Kids can access it from home, right?
As long as they have internet access, yep. So
it's a link from your school website or district website? Or
yeah. And kids know it. It's basically, instead of www.ims.k12.nj.us, it's now moodle.ims.k12.nj. So it's real easy for them to remember that. The thing that I'm trying to work with people now is for kids in our district that don't have computers, what we can do to be able to get either open up our library to kids, but better yet, take some of our computers, like our lease runs out in the end of October of next year, so we're going to have to release new computers and buy out the computers we have for a dollar. Why can't we take some of those computers, see who's on our lunch program, and be able to fix them up and donate them to those? And maybe we have an educational foundation. Why not let's go to them and see if they'll provide to pay for internet access for these kids at home? I mean, if you really want to, you know, you want to get away from the digital divide, that's the things that you have to do. And there are some that are going to stick their feet in the mud and complain and not want to do anything about it. But I always, my philosophy is this, you water the flowers and not the stones. And that's kind of my credence. So you water the flowers, not the stones. So now I can do this, whether it's PDF, whether it's Word document, whether it's PowerPoint, whether it's a video file, whatever, I can upload this onto my Moodle.
Are there any compatibility issues bringing in Flash videos as opposed to
ABI? There's certain modules that you have to go. Like if you do like a Flash video, there's a module that you'd have to download and plug in for it. And if I go, I'm just going to go here, and I'm going to go into the modules plugger. This is a great thing. It's like, you know, one teacher I was working with last year, I'm working this year, seventh and eighth grade language arts teacher. And so when we first started doing this collaborative thing, we were going to just create these electronic Holocaust books that the kids were doing. So I said, well, okay, we'll use that, but I want to also introduce you to this Moodle concept. And so her reaction, now she's not the stereotype New Yorkers, but she's originally from New York. So her first comment is, well, do you think we could cover this in my prep period? This could take a little bit longer. So we actually are allowed collaboration time, where we'll take a half day, a day I'll work with people, and we'll actually work together. Because that's where, you know, my whole thing is, we're getting it all wrong with professional development. We're getting it all wrong. The problem is, we take people, and this is kind of gets into the loading thing, being able to assess people, truly assess people, see what their level is. We take people, we throw them all in one room together, and it's like sink or swim. And then when you leave, it's like, good luck, I hope you remember it. Okay, we're going to do a training on inspiration today. Okay, this is how you use inspiration. I'm not going to tell you how you use it in your classroom. I'll give you some suggestions, but once you walk out that door, good luck. You know, maybe you can ask somebody else how to use it. We've got professional development all wrong. And what we've got to do is look at how we can work with teachers. And that's what I'm doing this year and last year, is I'm actually going in the classroom working with teachers on helping them develop and really integrate technology into the classroom. Because this Moodle, there's tons of open source stuff, there's tons of things out there, but my big thing is, you know, technology shouldn't be the end piece. Having a kid get up in front of the class at the end and doing a 10-minute PowerPoint presentation and sweating like bullets and nervous and memorizing all the cards, you get through the PowerPoint presentation, and you ask them, what did they get out of it? And most likely they're going to say, I'm done. That's what I get out of it. I'm done. I don't have to worry about it now. Now the next person stands up. They had to go through that patty. And what did you learn from it? Really nothing. Other than the presenter with his fancy transitions. That's what kids learn. You know, they learn, but what did you learn? What did you learn about, you know, the Holocaust? Is there something that you really learned out of that? Or did you just know how to do fancy presentations? So, there's on the Moodle, there's all these plugins. So this language arts teacher that I was working with, she said, you know, I have kids bringing like their pen drives in,
and CDs, and because they want to put pictures into this electronic booklet. And they're always forgetting their drives, they're always forgetting. Now, I wish there was a way that we could do, you know, so someplace where they get stored. So whether they were at home or at school, we can have that access. So I said, well, let me go look. So I went out to the modules, and I looked, and this is a great place. I spent, believe it or not, many of days, many of hours looking through this. And I looked through, and there was one called My Files, a module, My Files. And when I put that in, put that module in, what that allows people to do now is they can take their files from wherever, create them, it's a My Files place, and they can upload their files to that, no matter where they have internet access. They can now take their stuff. They can also choose to share who they want to share with their files. So if I'm working on a group project, I can go into My Files. I say, okay, here's the file I need, and I want to share this, and a list of everybody in that course will come up, and I just hit a check mark. Okay, I want this person to have it. I want this person to have it. This person to have it. And it shoots off to them the file that they need. So now I can collectively share my files with other people who can remove them. And guess what it costs? Nothing. Other than, you know, somebody's got to set this up.
Space on the server.
But, I mean, the benefits of it far exceed. I mean, if it's something that you could implement. And I tell people, you know, because we have this thing about worrying about how I compare to others. You know, if this person puts up this bulletin board, you know, I've got this bulletin board. Oh, that's really nice. Well, damn it, I'm going to put up a better one. So now if the competition's on, who's got the best bulletin board, you know, and then the competition goes. When I tell people, you start off slow with this process. You know, there's no right or wrong to it. You just start off slow at your pace. If it means initially starting off as just a central repository, start off that way. And then as you get experience with it and you get excited about it, it'll begin to grow.
If I may, too.
Yeah.
Sorry. Even the technical installing a server, per se, is not a barrier because there are companies that will host it for you. There's one, noodlerooms.com comes to mind, and for $1 a person a year, they'll host it for you. So you don't even have to set up a server and install it. They'll install it for you.
I use Host Monster to host mine.
Yeah,
there's millions of them. And you know, the thing I discussed with one of the administrators the other day is, do we go out and invest in a new server, or do we simply, you know, pay $5.95 a month, you know, for somebody else to host it, and we can, you know, have it set up. $5.95 a month.
Serious?
I'm serious. You know, so
for food?
No, per month for the website.
So you could have like Moodle for your whole school out there for $6 a month.
You got it. Here's mine. There is none.
The catch is when you have 800 students banging away at it every period, then they're going to say you're exceeding your bandwidth limitation,
right.
Then you're going to be paying $25 a month instead of $500.
Right.
But still, it's an odd idea.
Here's my website. I switched service because the service I was using before didn't have the latest PHP MySQL file that I needed. Not to get a little technical.
This is your website.
This is mine.
Not Moodle, right?
This is mine. Okay. And so I switched services to one that had the most updated, could handle the most updated versions of Moodle coming out. This was HostMonster.com, $5.95 a month. But there's tons. If you go to Moodle's website, there's links to other places that host them. So, you know, everybody always wants to know what the catch is because we're so used to that, particularly in education. You know, it's funny. I look at when I walk through downstairs, like where the vendors are, I look at vendors so differently than I used to. I mean, I think in some ways I used to be very naive in some ways with vendors because, you know, with this whole No Child Left Behind thing, how soon after No Child Left Behind did every vendor have something listed on there? No Child Left Behind. Oh, get this, buy this, you know, Gadget Z. No Child Left Behind. This will cover No Child Left Behind. And it looks fancy, looks neat, but isn't really allowing to kind of move from a teacher-centered to a more student-centered approach. So there's all these modules, and what I suggest to people is look to see, you know, what your needs are, and to see if there's something of a module that you can utilize to
to begin to use within the Moodle.
Any other questions?
So what I did is, as you see, I was setting up the sample, and if I go back to the sample, there's that file that I just did. Okay. If I want, I'm going to go over here now. On this, I always like to add, I like a calendar so that I can see things, what's happening. So I'm going to go over, there's a little section called blocks. And here's a little calendar, and I'm going to put a calendar in. And in a second, it's going to pop up. Now, here's my calendar. And that's nice, but I don't want it there. I want to move it up. So I'm just going to take it, and I want it up at the top. And now I've got my calendar. So I just click and drag. I can move my calendar. Now what I have is I have different events. As you notice, I love to ask kids this question. You know, you have what in the green is global events, and I ask, what are global events? Oh, that's stuff that happens in the world. I said, yeah, but you have to think of our little world, okay? When you think of global events, you have to think about things that are happening within our Moodle, that anybody in the Moodle will see. So if I look at this, I can see there's a calendar event. There's something happened in October, and if I go over here and click on it, it's going to tell me what that is. Okay? So there's a calendar. So that's a global event. So anybody on the Moodle can see that. If I go back, there's also what's known as course events. Course events I can have just strictly for people that are enrolled in that course. So the only people that are going to see it are people that are in that course. So if there were assignments that I wanted to give, that I wanted to give kids notification of what's coming up, I would put them under course events. And so that they would be available to be able to do them. The other thing is that they have is group events. You can group things in. If you have kids like working on, like in social studies, we have kids working on different projects. So they were all in groups. So we created groups for each one of those groups of kids. And so they knew when their, like, if their presentation was due, when their first rough draft was due, we could put in stuff that would only apply to those people that are in that group. They would be the only ones that saw that. And then what you also have is user events. User events are only events that you see. Funny story. Last year, the 6th grade social studies teacher, well, it was a funny thing. 6th grade social studies teacher. She's updating the calendar. She shoots me an email and tells me there's something wrong with the calendar. And I said, well, what do you mean? And, you know, we email back and forth to each other. Well, if I go in as me, I see the calendar. But if I log in as one of the kids, the calendar's not there. So, well, let me check. And I'm like looking and I say, okay, it's not there. So we'll go back and forth. Finally, what we realized is she was putting course events as user events. So when she logged in as herself, she kept seeing them, and I kept saying, I'm not seeing them. Well, I'm seeing them. Well, I'm not seeing them. And then we finally realized that what it was that she had listed them as user events. So that's why she could only see them. And I can work with kids. I tell them, I said, this calendar you can use, you know, if you're involved with after school activities, you can set up your calendar there. If there's a dance on Friday night, you can put your calendar there. Anything that you want to use that calendar for, it's yours. You can personalize it with any events and everything that you want. It's yours. And that's just a little ways that you begin to give ownership to the kids with the Moodle, is that they can have some control over it. So if I want to add, there's all different kinds of things that you can do. As you can see, there's flash videos, flash activities, there's chat rooms, certificates you can do, galleries, questionnaires. There's this great thing, I don't have the module plugged in now, Hoppetita quizzes. People familiar with Hoppetita? Hoppetita, another open source great thing. You can actually create your own like quizzes, and they actually have a module that plugs into the Moodle for Hoppetita quizzes, so you can create your, and it's a free download, Hoppetita. You can create your quizzes and then actually upload them directly into your Moodle.
Is there any way public can see pages? Non-users?
Yes. The way I've got it set up here, the way I've got our school site set up, is that only the students and teachers can see. And that's the way I would keep it. If a student wants to share it with their parents, that's their right. But as far as I set up my policy, which everybody's agreed with, I haven't heard anybody complain yet, is that it's only accessible to students and teachers that are enrolled into the Moodle, nobody else.
Is there a way that the public can see any pages?
Mm-hmm.
And how is that?
There's ways that you can set up within the courses to allow access. If I go in here, I can allow guests with what's known as a key or without a key.
if I want people to just, like, say I wanted people here to go see our school one and be able to get into it with as a guest, I would probably, the safest way would be with a key.
That would be allowing them to enroll into a course.
That would allow them, no, it allows them to view it. They can't do anything with it. They can't change anything. They can view everything within it. They can see what the content is, but they can't really participate in it.
So they would view the pages under a guest name.
Yes.
It would be the same generic guest name that every viewer would use.
Yeah, right. Except what I would want to do, for my own personal, I would probably do it with a key. It's kind of like if you ever go online to a search form where they'll send you out an email with a key, you have to use that to get in as a guest. So that way you can always track who's going in. I want this to be an experience for the kids and the teachers. And if they want to share with the parents, that's great too. But, I mean, what great way to get the kids involved with the parents too.
Exactly.
You know, is if you're going with your kids, you're sitting down with your parents and you're with them, you're spending time with the kids. God forbid in this day you do that. And as kids get excited about it, I mean, kids really get excited about this. I mean, it's just really a neat thing to see how excited they get about it. And the funny thing was last year is kids that were doing this, like sixth graders, were going to, like, some of the teachers in our school teach like sixth and seventh grade language arts. And they were saying to them, are we going to have the Moodle for this class? And then people would come to me, when can I get the Moodle? You know, I didn't say that. You know, sometimes silence is gold.
You know. Along those lines, they are going to have multiple classes, theoretically, all their classes would have a Moodle aspect to it. When they log on, like in WebCT or Vista, it shows me all my courses, but that would be the same thing for them. They click on it and it brings up that course.
Yep. And they just click on it. So if they have several courses, like right now I've got this kind of generic page, and it looks kind of, like right now this is kind of a generic home page for this course. But if I want, and this is the thing as I tell teachers, is get comfortable with using it. Here's one that I'm starting to put together, like I'm doing a Moodle 101 course. So you can see as you start to do it, you can start dressing it up. So these are all ones that I've got tutorials for people just to get used to Moodle 101. And I could put in an intro, and I put links. I've got a link for these two books that are available. So that you could really begin to dress it up and make it personalized, make it the way you want it as a teacher. Yes?
From a general appearance of the plugins, all that stuff you do from the server, you do
at the moment? I do it FTPN. Like I use like Ipswitch. And I just FTP. There's what's called a mod folder, and what you do is you just install it. You just FTP it into the mod folder. Now, if you have direct access to the server, you don't need to do that. You can just be at the server and put it in. But you FTP it into the module, and then there's a notification on the home page of the Moodle. You hit that, and it'll run through and set up all the tables for you in the SQL database. It just automatically does that. It just runs it, and then you'll see if it's a module. Will be listed like as an activity or a block.
So even if you have it hosted by Monster Host or Alexa, I would have administrative rights to it then, and I would be able to put the plugins in, and it doesn't matter. I don't have access to the physical server, but that doesn't matter.
Well, you have it to your portion of the server, to wherever you have rights to as the administrator of your website. So I could do it. In fact, the nice thing I like about HostMonster, and you know, there's tons of that there, is they already had the setup, kind of the walkthrough and set up the initial Moodle for you. And all I did is they were using 1.8.3.2, and they just came out with 1.8.3. So all I did is went in and updated. But actually, HostMonster actually ran through the whole process and set it up for me automatically just by going in and saying, I want to set up a Moodle. And this is where I wanted to be. And it did the rest for me. We run out of time?
Yeah.
A couple things. I have these CDs up here. They're mini CDs. What are on these are, there's little tutorials on how to set up, like if you want to even set up a Moodle on your own home computer. All the files that you need are on here. I've got videos that take you through little walkthroughs on how to set up a Moodle, how to put it in a module, all that stuff is available
these, just feel free to take one. I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you.